It was, and this was a show, when we talk about the time and the period, it was very much a show also about, let's talk about female empowerment, you know?
Yeah.
The woman who owned the whorehouse or whatever, and creating men's desires, the alternative or whorehouse, as it were, or maybe not call it whorehouse, but maybe, what were they called? Sorry?
Pleasure parlor.
Love houses or something? Pleasure parlor. Thank you, sir. Said like a true experience. The pleasure parlor. Solo is very acquainted with that.
Bonkai Senbon Sakura Kageyoshi.
Welcome, anime fans, to the Super Anime Podcast, where each week we look to entertain, inspire, and inform you on all things anime. Whether you're new to anime or a seasoned veteran, we invite you to come listen, share, and laugh with us. We hope every episode ignites your otaku spirit and leaves you feeling super. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy. Let's start the show. Welcome to another episode of Super Anime
Podcast. What are you doing?
In a time of sorcerers and samurais. Oh. I'm trying to do, you know, the Aku voice.
Yeah. I was like, what is he doing?
Lived a man named Jack.
Half Japanese, Samurai. Half Caribbean. This is literally what you sound like.
Can you imagine?
It's literally what you sound like.
You're like, pon de sword. Pon de sake. Oh, man. All right. Are you ready, Solo?
Mm-hmm.
What is Japanese, Jamaican... Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize because I clearly am not doing...
No, you're not.
Any of those cultures justice. So I'll keep it to my own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Welcome to another episode to a Super Anime Podcast. I am your delicate... I don't know what else to say, but just delicate.
You're stumped there. You're just delicate.
Stumped there. Do you know why? Because I'm a bit scared right now, ladies and gentlemen, because I know you can't see him, but Solo's got a lieutenant hat on, you know, an army hat, as it were, you know. He wears many hats, and today he's decided to wear an army hat. So, you know,
exactly.
I'm a bit scared, you know. Got to fall in line. Otherwise, you know, it's off to
Drill sergeant.
Exactly. You know, he's got one of them. You can imagine him as a father just standing there with the sunglasses, the dark eye sunglasses, the army hat. He's looking left and right.
The tool hat. It's got the tool hat on it.
Oh my gosh. But moving back to a different time period. Would he say Edo time period? I don't know. But, certainly a different time period. Today we are going to be talking about Blue Eyed Samurai, a show that has taken Netflix by storm. Everyone is talking about it. I know there was a lot of gossip or a lot of talk on it on Twitter and mentions and so on and so forth, and rightly so, and we'll get into it. But it's certainly something that, whether it was me or said, doesn't matter. No one's, you know, someone's going to take credit. Said probably listened and said, Ed's trying to take my credit. Said, I told him first. No, I'm joking. But regardless, you know, I've told Solo about this and Solo has now watched it. And we are going to now appreciate and review Blue Eyed Samurai. So Solo, what were your first impressions of Blue Eyed Samurai?
Kill Bill.
Interesting.
It was the first thing that came to mind. And then guess what? They played the Kill Bill song.
Yes.
They played like quite early on. I think what season one, like episode one or two. But yeah, that's the first thing that came to mind. Kill Bill.
Absolutely right. You know, the revenge for her master in this case. Her family. So no.
Her being. It's like revenge against her own being.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of who she is, who her father is. I think for me, my first impressions were more so the animation and the way it was drawn. Again, it wasn't your typical kind of anime style drawing. Or I say anime style drawing, but more so the way typically anime is drawn. But I loved it. It was unique. It was different. And it kind of drew me. Anything to do with Ronin, I love anyway. Samurai, all that stuff. So when I first watched it, I was like, okay, this is cool. This is nice. This is to your point. Okay, they're building out the story nicely, the premise and so on and so forth. And then I think for me, the moment I got hooked is when she took off the weights, the ankle weights in that fight.
What, against Tigan for the first
time? Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I was like, yeah, that was a great fight as well. I was like, I'm here for this. I'm here for this because obviously I train with ankle weights and
which I still find funny.
It's good though. Like when you're doing like sit ups and leg raises and stuff like that.
Oh, leg races when they're very good.
Yeah, it's very great for if you're listening. You want to really build up your core and your hip flexors. You know, get that serratus muscle. You know, I don't even know what I'm saying.
Serratus muscle, you know,
the adductor. No, the serratus is your back, to be honest. But you know, the adductor. You know, you wanna strengthen that. Then, by all means, I'm just listening to all those fitness instructions,
fitness influences.
You know, your rhomboid, the patella,
the patella. You know, your kneecap.
You know, you got to make sure you have a strong patella tendon. You know. The serratus. Anyway, but yeah, I was just like, yeah, I'm here for you. Oh yeah, so talking about ankle weights, yeah, it's really good to strengthen your core, you know, because the core and the serratus are quite linked together. So you know, you wear the ankle weights and then after you do those leg raises, so it really really strengthen your core and serratus muscles. But anyway, I digress. So yeah, I really enjoyed that moment. For me, that was when, okay, I've arrived. I like the premise of the story about a samurai who is mixed race in regards to being European and half Japanese, mm-hmm. and the way society has been treating quote unquote him to begin with. Because again, we'll go into the whole girls and women of that generation and how they were treated. But I just thought it was funny how, you know, again, because you're a little bit different, you're going to be marginalized with society. You're going to be treated differently. And I think a lot of people probably drew or kind of related to that. Well, not related to that, but I guess the story was compelling enough for people to, you know, identify or potentially sympathize or empathize, whatever it be, regarding her plight and her story and her, I would say, her fight against just trying to be a person who is maltreated in a society that does not deem her a human being just because of a slight dilution in her DNA, if that makes sense. Yeah. So I just thought it was interesting because if you go into the whole kind of the way, obviously black people, we have the one drop rule. You know, if you're not fully white, then you're not white. Or it's more so America. They have the one drop rule. I didn't know, and I was educated, but apparently that was like that in Japan where if you were not purely Japanese, then you were not Japanese. You had to be purely Japanese. And her blue eyes obviously gave it away that she was not purely Japanese. Mm-hmm. And because of that, she was maltreated and she was treated as an outcast, which was very sad to see. And, you know, children don't deserve that. She was a child and she was, you know, marginalized with society by society. And because of that pain she felt, she wanted to get back at the Europeans who essentially, you know, graped her mother, as it were, and then brought her into being. So that, yeah, that was kind of how I saw the gravity or the gravitas of the story and how it's been pulling people in. But I don't know what your thoughts are.
Yeah, so that first episode, let's go from the first episode. So that first episode, that was enough for me to know, okay, I think I'm going to enjoy this. Because it showed Mizu as a child. And going through some of those things that they're going through, just in terms of just being ostracized and being othered right the way through, and how that kind of that how that kind of that formed her own opinion of herself, which I still think is massively unresolved, by the way. I still think this is massively unresolved. I still think I actually even think her whole journey, she's directing to she's not going to find any peace in her journey. There's zero peace. Even when she succeeds, what she wants to do, that's what's even more so than a typical revenge story. Just like John Wick, you take my dog, you kill my dog and take my car, I'm going to kill you. At least I've damaged the person who damaged me. But this is different though. This is, you can't cut out what is already in you. This is, you are. So I'm very interested in this, and I'll go into more. I'll tell you just how interested I was in this afterwards in a second. But I think, yeah, that first episode was enough for me to be like, I think I really will like this. And it was actually more so around the emotions that are driving her rather than the action scenes. I expected it to be a fairly traditional revenge story, but what I did like was actually from a different perspective. In fact, let me just say it quickly now. This was done by a husband and wife team.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. Written and created by a husband and wife team. And the husband and wife team, the wife is a mixed Japanese national.
Wow.
And reported to have similar experiences growing up, but not in Japan, in the US. And how she would have similar feelings of being ostracized as a kid in the US for being not fully white. And people could tell by her eyes that she was not, 100% white. And she realized that she had to do some work in herself when she got married and had and I hope I'm quoting her rightly, and had a child, and she was very excited by her child's blue eyes.
Interesting.
So she started, she questioned herself, said, why am I excited by my child's blue eyes? And her partner called her child, she's our blue-eyed samurai, or blue-eyed warrior, and she said that's when she got the name of it first came. So I was like, if that is not an advertisement, if that's not an advertisement for telling your story and telling an authentic story, I think that's why people might, that part of it was so well done. Not the revenge story, because the revenge story was typical revenge story, but that emotion behind it, I think there was more than I expected. There was more than I expected, and they weren't typical with it. So it's interesting to know that, okay, that came, it's almost like came from my comments, like some personal experiences also came from that.
You know what? I like that solo. He did his homework, people.
Yeah, I liked it. I totally did.
No, I think that's a beautiful story. And I like the fact, it's interesting that she experienced some of the things that was portrayed in the show. And I don't know how old this lady is, but I imagine she's no more older than 60, but I could be wrong.
No. She's middle-aged. I don't know the exact age, but
so maybe 40s. Yeah. So that was just 40 years ago. And this was a time back in the Edo period. So that would have been even more heightened, in regards to the discrimination, marginalization, and racism. And it just shows you, man, you said it before, and you said it before in the podcast, when you're not like someone, when you're other, when you're different, people are going to basically find something or a way to tease you or to bully you or to just, not accept you. And whether it be the way you speak, whether it be where you look, whether it be your culture, your history, whatever it may be, if there's a large group of people who are similar and something comes, basically there's a lot of white sheep and there's a black sheep. I'm using that as a black and white thing, not saying it has to be black and white, but I'm just using it as an example. But if there's a lot of large group of people who are similar in nature, who are the same, and you point or you put something that is an anomaly inside it, people are going to be scared. People are going to be like threatened. People are going to question, people are going to potentially asks, who are you or what is this thing? But the large majority will have their defenses up and a large majority will try and shun you because you're not like them. Mm-hmm. And that is what I saw in this, especially with her story. And, you know, even when she had to cover her eyes and when they found out, you know, she was treated completely different just because of that one aspect. And I think that was very, very well juxtaposed with the blind man who didn't see her, but really liked her. And he probably knew anyway, after a while, but he liked her because of who she, just because she was a kid, you know, didn't see eye color, you know? And it's sad that just because of her eye color, they were basically treated differently, which is very sad.
Yeah.
Did you have a favorite? Oh, sorry, go on.
No. Karen.
I was saying, did you have like a favorite moment or?
Oh, 100%. I know. My favorite. Easy. My favorite. Yeah, 100%. The backstory. I was waiting for time. Why is Mizu so damn grumpy? Like, why? Like, hurry up. Like, why are you so grumpy? Like, I get it, but there has to be a reason behind this. Like, you have to. It's clearly not a show. There was too much said at the beginning that the only reason for this complete blind hatred for something what is it? And then the middle of the scene, I think it's like 5 or 6, where they show her meeting her mum again, when she comes back and she meets her mum. And they go through that journey and they do it alongside the Japanese play and about the story of the Onryo. And oh my gosh. And then you're seeing that even though she was accepted by, Miku, the guy that she got married to, and then got to understanding it. And the way that whole episode was done was just beautiful. And then realizing that actually along that process, she put back everything, was beginning to then open her heart and then trust and then understand, only for the two people that she thinks you can't see these people, but when I said open my heart, I did this motion like I was ripping my chest open. But going through this moment of opening the heart to, and then having the two people that she thought would be there for her, and she doesn't even know which one of them caused this. Is okay, spoilers for everything. The local authorities come, and actually before that, do you know what really annoyed me? When she first gets introduced to her husband, And she's worried about that first wedding night, right? She's worried about that first wedding night. And he just goes, I'm not a brute. And he takes his tatami mat and he goes to sleep somewhere else. I was thinking, already? And this is great. I like this guy. They throw all these things with them bonding. Mm-hmm. And then it's interesting that he doesn't have an issue about her being mixed heritage.
Yeah.
He has an issue with her being far surpassing him at the only thing that gave him pride in his life. So the only thing that gave him pride in his whole life, his identity, was a samurai. And then this mixed person that I was only doing because I need some help around my farm, you completely school me and embarrass me. Speaks to, in that case, he was so fragile-minded that he's just like, you know what? You're a monster. So I'm not a monster for my eyes, but I'm now a monster because you feel insecure about that. I'm good at this.
Yep.
You feel insecure that I'm good at fighting, and now you're gonna, after everything is fine. That's after they, you know, they link up for the first time, everything's all good. And because you tell me, show me everything. They have a conversation, show me everything. So that whole episode was my favorite episode, because then when when they're fighting in the background, no, it was me. No, it was you. No, it was me. And then like he stabs the mum. She then flings a dagger. She flings a dagger in his face. But that scene when she's walking to the camera, you can, and then they contrast it with the play, and they see the Onryo, and you see the demon face, and then you see her face, and she looks like the Onryo, and it's, I'm like, okay, I get it, I truly see that. And then when she's walking, then she's like, okay, you know what, screw this. This is it now. I'm going to go back to what I was supposed to do before. Mm-hmm. And clearly, my existence is an issue. So I am now going to take out all my vengeance on the person who created me. Someone's like, ooh, well, careful there, Mizu, because guess what? You're still going to be you. You have to accept yourself. So, yeah, I'll pause there because I can keep on going. But yeah, I'll pause there. That was my favorite. Episode.
Nah, that was my favorite as well. There was another one as well, but that was definitely up there, because it was a beautiful way to tell the story. To your point, going back and forth with the Japanese theater or the theater, and you know, juxtaposing that or going back and forth with what she's feeling and how they were telling the story and so on and so forth. It was beautifully done. Kind of reminded me of Avatar, you know, when they were telling the story in Avatar. I don't know if you remember that episode in Avatar Last Airbender. But it's basically Japanese theater, and you know, they have the way the characters are portrayed in the theater, and they have the theatrics and so on and so forth. It was really done. Well done. What I thought of that is, ego is the enemy. And in this case with the man, you know, male ego can be a fragile thing. And I can only speak as a man, you know. I want to admit this right now. I don't usually like to admit this, but I was playing. Do you know what? There's still a part of me.
Here we go, people. 2 seconds. Wait there, Ed. Okay. Please continue. You've come into the office of Dr. Solo. I hear that you've made an appointment. Please tell me, what's brought you to the table today? You may finish your food. He's chewing. While drinking some coconut water to wash it down. He's trying to buy himself time.
Nah. And when you said wait there a second, I thought you were going. That's why I bit into my bread. Sorry. Yeah. So I still blame the wind, but you know, basically, I was playing badminton with a friend of mine, and we were playing just in the park, and there was other people around, other friends around. Actually, it was a colleague, so I'll just say a colleague. So we're playing with my colleague, and there was other colleagues around, and I'm not gonna lie, she was schooling me in badminton. She was killing me. But, you know, we were going back and forth. I think the score was like 7-4 in games. But I do blame the wind because, you know, the wind. There was a lot of wind, you know, and we weren't playing by the rules. So we do have a rematch going to happen inside the building where there's no wind. And we are following badminton rules. That's all I'm going to say. But the story is because one of our colleagues was watching, and someone asked, what's the score? And then someone said, it's 7, whatever. And then one of the colleagues saying, you're losing to a girl. It's so bad, but to be honest, I didn't mind. But it was just one of those things where we see in society, look, yes, you know, my ego was slightly bruised, but I didn't mind. She was really good. Like, honestly, her reactions. You know when you hit a shot and you think it's done, and she's like, bah! And I was like,
yeah, yeah,
But the male ego can be a fragile thing. And I could see that man. I could see the moment when she went on top of him. His whole life.
And put the blade underneath his neck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was at that moment.
I find that sexy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what I thought was going to happen. I
love women who can like be adventurous, like basically a woman I could play sports with, so on and so forth, be competitive with. So I thought that was like, you know, but the way he was bruised, boy, he was just like,
he got upset. He got upset. He got upset.
Yeah, he's like, I don't care if you're blue-eyed. Nah, you cannot be better at me at this. And you know what?
Carry on.
Your point about opening up herself, you know, here's someone, to your point, who's been reclusive, who's been shelled, who doesn't want to open up. And the moment she does, this happens. Of course she's not going to do it again. That's it. She's like, I've tried. It's done. Never happening again. Never.
And then never that make, and again. Then it makes sense why then when she goes back, when you go back and you meet, because obviously this happens before the first episode, because it's like a little flashback. Then when you see when Ringo meets him for the meets her for the first time, why she's so cold to Ringo, because she's like, no, just move away. In fact, I don't care. In fact, you know what? Here, take three, go away. Because she doesn't want anybody close. Mm-hmm. So I think it's, I'm not saying like it's they're doing groundbreaking stuff, but it's a very tight and well-told storyline. They give you enough to make sure that you're clear on why these things happen. And it's interesting, the male ego thing. I remember when me and Mrs. Solo were dating, and Mrs. Solo would say to me, because we all went to the same uni. So she used to say things like, well, I'm going to earn more money than you one day. Well, when we graduate, right? And I remember looking at him like, you talk to me as if that's going to be a problem. That is perfectly fine by me.
Beta!
I'll perfectly happy.
Wear my apron. I will make some cakes.
Does not matter to me. If you want to be the private breadwinner, that's okay with me. It doesn't matter. But the funny thing is that, like, similar to yourself, I remember there was one time we went somewhere, we went for, and she said, because she used to do swimming when she was younger. She was a swimmer. And for those who don't know, Mrs. Solo, she's quite tall for a female. So she was a swimmer. And I remember we went somewhere, she goes, actually, I think I can beat you in a foot race. I'm like, okay, calm down. And at that point, that's where my male ego came in. She was like, no, seriously, I know I can beat you. I'm like, all right, fine. Let's do this. And did I decide to just...
Let her win?
No. Did I even think to, like, just finish first and let her win, like, to just get the race done with? No. What did I do? I decided to goad her throughout the race. So I let her run. And then, I tripped. Run next to her. Okay. Ooh, you're cut fast. Oh, I think you're going to win. Oh, no, you're not. And then slowly just pull away at the last minute. To enjoy the win. Because I was driven by my ego. Not only am I going to win, but I'm going to take the opportunity to show you that I can win. I'm not going to be professional about this. I'm not being professional. I think there's,
I would have done the same thing.
Exactly.
But, I'm competitive, though. It's nothing to do with, like,
competitive nature. Yeah, competitive nature. But no, but if it comes to like someone, but the difference though, here's the thing though, is that all jokes aside, the sad thing about that is that you can see that's actually like quite a lot of pain, because even for Mizu to get to that point, to accept the marriage, to get married, to then trust the guy, to then trust, okay, that this is her life, to then put that side of her life behind her and put all that vengeance behind her, it's almost as if that at that point, that decision there would have been the difference to her finding true peace a lot earlier in her life. Because if she had been fully accepted for who she is and who she was and her full complete self, I'm of mixed heritage and I am a swordsman and I am a good swordsman, and was fully accepted as that, that is what she probably, in my non-expert opinion, is what she probably needed. It's that full acceptance of me as an individual. And instead, like you said, at that moment that she fully does explain or show the other side of herself, it's like, that's not good enough. So she's not good enough to be a good swordsman,
because she's a female, and she's not good enough to be a standard person in society because she's mixed. So nothing about her is acceptable now. That's what she learned at that moment, that nothing's acceptable. And one thing I also loved is that some of the dialogue in that was beautiful, because it spoke about hate and how it starts off as a breeze. And they spoke about how her mum was actually saying good things and saying positive things, like, oh no, we can be here, we can be safe here forever. And then how it says, oh, then it grows and develops, and then it switches to her mum. Then she actually building in that hate to say, everybody doesn't like you. If you go outside, you're going to be killed. If people see you, you're always going to be chased. Don't trust anyone. So it actually came from her mum first. That kind of sense of first, and then it was extended. And then she saw what her mum said was actually being reflected in society as unfortunate fact. Mm-hmm. And then that compounded. So now she is literally, this is all she knows.
And on that, actually, because this is traumatic again, trauma. You know, there seems to be a theme here, and we say again trauma because we talked about Attack on Titan and Eren and trauma, but we won't go into that. But in terms of her trauma, there was a point where she thought she was responsible for her mom's death because of the fire that happened when she went outside.
The fire that happened. Yeah, we go.
Obviously, I don't know how that kind of meeting her mom and all that kind of transpired was a bit weird, but. Obviously, she met her mom. I don't know where her mom was all that time. Her mom clearly had some issues and some addictions and so on and so forth.
Addiction to heroin.
I think, yeah, exactly. But she had trauma as well, which is crazy because to grow up thinking I was a cause because of these blue eyes, because of my mom getting raped and all that stuff, that really does build a lot of resentment in your heart. And again, to then try and open your heart, say, you know, I'm going to live the simple life. I'm going to, you know, have a husband. Mom's going to be there. We're going to live a happy life. And then for that to be taken away because of his ego, because of him and his mom betraying her.
Ooh, ego. I mean, ego. It's just ego.
Ego for the man, but also the mom also had something to do with it as well in terms of, you know, betraying her. Because we still don't know who did it. Was it a man or was it her?
And I think that's the point. That's the point. That they both, unfortunately, due to their own failures, both had a viable, there was a logic behind both of them doing it. The mom wanting to get back on drugs, and the guy being so bruised that he'd called, because he left. Mm-hmm. He left.
Yeah, he did. He saw her. Oh, that fight was crazy as well. The way she just... She killed all of those.
Exactly.
It was, and this was a show, when we talk about the time and the period, it was very much a show also about, let's talk about female empowerment, you know? Yeah. The woman who owned the whorehouse or whatever, and creating men's desires, the alternative or whorehouse, as it were, or maybe not call it whorehouse, but maybe, what were they called? Sorry?
Pleasure parlor.
Love houses or something. Pleasure park. Thank you, sir. Said like a true experience. The pleasure parlor. Solo is very acquainted with that.
Oh, that's funny.
The pleasure parlor. You know, he had that woman owning that, even to the point where the king's daughter, who wanted to, you know, do her own thing. Obviously, first she wanted to marry that guy, but then as she went through the episode, you could tell at the end, she says, nah. He was like, let's run away. Let's, you know, let's just get away and let's not live like let's live a life of mediocrity or something like that. And she was like, no, I wanna rule. I wanna be queen. Do you know what I mean? Do you remember that part at the end?
Yeah, and the reason why I was just being quiet there is because part of me thinks that she might have over... I get it. It makes complete sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
But the question I ask is, but didn't you love him though? You went on this journey
That's why you went on this journey
because you wanted him. Mm-hmm. And he was a choice that you made.
Mm-hmm.
No one forced that on you. Mm-hmm. He's not a noble. Mm-mm. So he's not going to offer you anything, everything. He's not going to offer you this. You're not doing it for anything. And then I realized... But what she did go on a journey on is recognizing her own ambition.
Yes.
That's what the story of her story was about.
Exactly.
Her own ambition. And actually, and how many times have we seen it with guys? Guys, we've seen it in guys' stories all the times where they say, you know what? I love you, but I love this money more. Peace.
Mm.
See that all the time. See that all the time. So so when I recognized that, I was like, okay, I can see that. I think maybe they could have done that, but a little bit, I don't want to say better, but differently. But but I was surprised that she came to that conclusion so easily. Because
I think she's been through a lot.
She went through a lot. She was in a whorehouse. That's
a pleasure parlor, thank you very much.
Sorry, an alternative. Not even a good one. Just not even a good one.
It was an alternative one, you know. And I think, yeah, I think her eyes were open. She was sheltered in that place.
She was very sheltered, correct.
And then her eyes opened by seeing the world. And she was like, actually, I'm not just someone who's born into nobility. I can do things with my God-given gifts, with my talents. And I can make, potentially shape the world as I see it in this place or position of power. And I think that's what she probably realized at the end.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what I think anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I found her annoying at the beginning.
Yes.
And liked her at the end.
Well, I don't know if I liked her in the end.
I just enjoyed her journey.
I enjoyed her journey. I don't know if I liked her.
Yeah. Ringo, I'm indifferent about. I was indifferent. I saw him as like, he's a comedy relief character.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, he was. He's fine.
Comedy relief and push the plot. When you need him to come back, he'll come and save you to you and Tigan from the ice water. Okay.
But cool. I did like again the whole inclusive nature of, you know, he didn't have hands or whatever.
Yeah, and they didn't constantly refer to it.
No. It was just one question, what happened? It was at birth. Boom. Let's move on.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. That was it. Mm. And it didn't stop him from, you know, doing what he needed to do, which is great. Did the gender switch surprise you? It didn't surprise me because the voice actress seemed very feminine to me. So I was just like, either that's a feminine guy, or this is a girl. This is a boy. This is a girl pretending to be a boy, kind of thing.
What, Mizu? No, yeah, not
it didn't
all.
Surprise me at all. Not did at it surprise all. You? Yeah,
as far as I'm concerned, you're a female from the beginning.
Well, yes, but no one knew that.
No, but as a viewer, I knew it. So why would I assume that you're being voiced by a guy? I would just assume that you're a female trying to make sure when you'll be communicating, you're going to do everything in your power to come across as a guy. That might mean deepening your voice. That might mean binding your chest, doing chest binding. That would include all of that. So for me, that wasn't a shock. I was just like, all right, cool.
I agree. It wasn't. Yeah. What I did find a bit unrealistic is the amount of people that she killed, man. Honestly. That's where the anime part came in.
And that's why I said
I get she's skilled, but it was just
the one thing I came across about Thrones is that there is an element of suspension of belief that you have to have in any TV show. So if you're looking for some
happy, but hers was ridiculous, man.
Of course. Like, how many times do you need to get stabbed and you're still fighting full strength? Then that bit where she was going into the tunnels and then she gets a metal spike through her like Achilles heel ankle and she just goes and then runs upstairs. And they're still fighting and jumping off cliffs. I'm like, bro, that you can't heal in 2 days. That takes a while to heal.
Nah.
I bumped my, I remember bumping my elbow once and that hurt for like 2 days. You've been stabbed. I remember she got stabbed with that claw in the chest.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. In the house, in that pleasure parlor when they were trying to... And she's still getting back and just killing like 50 guys. Like, come on, bruh.
That's
what I know we're trying to do female empowerment, but honestly.
Suspend belief.
That was too much.
Suspend belief. And I guess the reason that made me happy with that, like, I could overlook it, was because I was such a big fan of the emotional parts of the story. I was a big fan of the emotional and psychological parts of the story that it I just saw the action parts as okay. It's just some fun.
Yeah,
just some fun. There's fine. I mean, we see it with John Wick all the time.
yeah.
How is John Wick not riddled with bullets? Dead. Beyond me. It's beyond me. Like if I was in John Wick and I see like imagine like in a club scene, you see like a group of circle all around John Wick and you see him pow, 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 beat people. If I'm that person on the first floor and I can see him coming upstairs, what happens in the film? The slowly he comes up the stairs, I get my knuckle dusters out and I'm like, come on then, let's fight. No, I am getting my rifle and shooting him as soon as he's distracted by you. I'm shooting him. As soon as his back is turned, I ain't got time for this. Shoot him. If I'm fighting him, Ed, while he's distracted, shoot him. Gosh. If you shoot me in the leg at the same time, fine. At least he's dead. So suspension of belief.
Yeah. But I did like when she got to the castle the first time and she was complete. After all that, she gets to the guy and then she just completely outclassed. And she has to retreat with her tails between her legs. But she did save the guy. I forget his name.
Tigon. Where she grabs Tigon and jumps out the window.
Yeah. That, at least, you know, that was nice. Because, you know, it wasn't a case where, oh, I've got there and I'm going to kill him now. She was like, oh, crap. This guy's actually quite strong. So.
But then she also was realizing
interesting
that
the way it ended.
Sorry to cut you off, but she was also, that wasn't just because she couldn't do it. It was also because she was realizing that she was having flashbacks about what it means to be a good person. And then she remembered saying, oh, what would a samurai do? And then she was like, okay, cool.
Yes.
Fine. And she's reminded, so, okay, well, conflict. I'm gonna, yeah. And then actually say, you know what? Fine. Let me save this person. Let me save Tiger and live to fight another day, as opposed to just try and just use my blind rage to probably not win at that point, because he was all about that action. He saw her, that white guy saw her came in and just went click click bang your shoulder.
That was funny though when they had their guns though. Everyone just like boom 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 boom, and they're just like, you trained all your life to be a great samurai and someone just goes boom and you're like,
bah, 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 bah. Exactly.
Oh my gosh. It reminds me of The Last Samurai. Have you ever seen that film with Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise.
Yeah. And they had guns. It was similar to that. Although Mooney, I can't remember the comedian, he's like, give me a break. Tom Cruise, The Last Samurai.
Paul Mooney. That guy.
Paul Mooney,
so
that's
funny.
It. Yeah.
So damn funny.
Oh, that guy's too funny. He's like,
he's passed now, you know?
Be kidding me. Has he?
Yeah, he's passed. I know he's I think he's passed.
Yeah, he's quite old then, but yeah. Oh, that was funny though, man. He's like, Tom Cruise, The Last Samurai. Sorry,
give me a break. I know exactly what you're talking about. I think that was on the Chappelle Show. Was that?
Yeah. It was.
Too funny, man. Too damn funny.
EK. Tom Cruise. Made some great films though. So in terms of the actual characters, and actually did you have a favorite fight? You mentioned that you weren't really interested
really
in
the favorite fights. I like the fights in the pleasure parlor. That was good. I like that one.
Well, where the guys came after she killed,
The tigers, yeah. I like those ones.
Yeah, that was all right. I thought the one with Tiger initially was good. And like I can say
first
when
one.
She removed the weights and
yeah.
I thought that was nice.
And I like the one against the four fangs. The ones at the beginning with the four fangs were good as well.
Yes.
They were good. That was good. Yeah, I like that one.
Okay. Do you think anime is getting more graphic? I know we've spoken about this previously in the JJK episode, but do you think anime in general is just getting more graphic in terms of the violence and the blood?
No, I think it's just inspiration. Because
you never see this. Sorry to cut you off, but never see this level of gore 20 years ago.
Yeah, you would.
Even Bleach? No, you wouldn't.
Because that's a shonen. This is adult animation. They've been trying to make this show for years. They were trying to get this done before Invincible came out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They were again trying to get this make done before Invincible came out. They actually, they were trying to get it done and Invincible came out first. And they said, oh, okay, cool. And they quite squarely wanted it to be, they actually tried to do live action first. And then someone someone said, actually, no, probably, why didn't you do, I think their producer or their co-producer, she has experience of live action and anime. And so she would say, actually, maybe animation would be good. Trust me, I was like, this is good. I want to understand about these people. They use something called painted CGI, Ed. Painted CGI.
Ooh, okay, Sola.
So Dr. Sola's cooking.
Exactly. So they do CGI, like typical CGI, and then they do 2D hand drawing over it to get, or 2D style over it to make it look like it's more hand drawn. And apparently, I don't know if I can verify, the rest were quotes that I read from them. This one, I can't remember, but I remember reading that they wouldn't even class it as anime.
Wow, what are they classing it as?
Just adult animation. It's just adult animation. But I think in part because they didn't create this with a viewpoint of it being anime. They created this as being a story. Animation just happened to be the vehicle.
But I mean, anime is animation in Japanese anyway.
Yeah, I know, but this is them anyway. So that's why I'm less worried about the terms of whether something is anime or animation now. But no, yeah, interesting. Definitely interesting.
This is what Yasuke should have been.
Oh, that's exactly what I thought. Exactly what I thought. Although, Ed, quick one for you. If you enjoyed the emotional moments of this and the kind of personal, deeper perspective points of this, you will like Vagabond.
I need to get back on the reading that, you know. I did
Vagabond also has actions, but you know the fight scenes against Taigen in the beginning where they're doing like, okay, if I move, this is what's going to happen.
That happens in Vagabond
as well.
Isn't it the average sword fight is 3 seconds or something like that?
Yeah, or something. This is
actual fact. Like in Japan, like the average sword fight is 3 seconds because it literally is one swipe and you're done. That is crazy. Is it 13 seconds? I can't remember, but very quick, very, very quick. And this was a very quick episode, or I say quickish anyway. So thank you so much for joining us. So Solon, what's your super? I know it's not finished, so we can always come back to this.
Season one
super rating.
I would give this.
And again, you have to do what you do. You explain the rating system for new listeners. Go on.
For new listeners, our super rating is as follows. And this is from a friend of mine, and I really enjoy it. 0 is a rating out of 10. 0 is could not be worse. 10 is could not be better. 5 is average. So if we eliminate, when you ask someone how good is a film, oh, that's about 7 out of 10. It's a good film. No. 7 out of 10 in this rating is a very good film. Or very good piece of content. So with that, and 5 is average. 5 is, it's okay. That's 5. So with that in mind, Blue Eyed Samurai, I would give 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I would agree.
7 out of 10.
I would agree. And again, it's just season one, so it's very good. There's more to come there, but I would agree. 7 out of 10 is a good.
Yeah, very good. With episode 5 or 6, whatever that Onryo demon story that is a 9 out of 10 episode.
But you're classing as a whole.
But that one alone was a 9 out of 10 episode.
Agreed. Are we 9 out of 10? No, we are 10 out of 10. So if you enjoyed this podcast, if you enjoyed Dr. Sola's cooking, then please, you can order us on your favorite podcast app. That Super Anime Podcast, just put us in there. You can follow and subscribe and you will have notifications of us every week when we put out episodes twice a week. So please follow and subscribe. Also, if you liked what you heard, 5 star. 5 star rating. We'd really, really appreciate that. Also, if you want more of the debate, the gossip, the ego-driven mania that is in the Discord, then please join us on our Discord. We've had new people come all the way from Red Rampage, Call Me RD, Big Nate 52, Travis, Ultra Vegito Go. Is it? Oh yeah, Vegito Go. Is it Vegito Go? go. Yes, Ultra Vegito.
He's struggling.
I am struggling. Ultra Vegito go, but I apologize. But it is Ultra Vegito go. Iron Chef Cops, Shinida, Oshenda. Everyone, I'm just so thankful for you guys being in the Discord. Apologies, I've butchered your name. But we really appreciate every one of you. And yeah, thank you so much for listening. Blue Eyed Samurai. We can't wait to see season two. We can't wait to see what happens and what transpires, because obviously at the end she was taking the man to England, Europe. It'll be interesting to see how they treat her there. Is it going to be the same experience?
I think what's going to happen, I think they will treat her as slightly different, but she will have the Gabby from AOT treatment, where she'll realize that actually people don't actually treat me as bad, bless you. they won't treat her as bad. And I think that trip to Europe will give her a sense of, I hope, show the some acceptance. That actually, I need to just kill everybody? You know, I need to accept myself. This is also part of who I am.
Nah, that's a good point. Only time will tell. Find out on the next episode of